In Michigan's prisons, there ain't a single prisoner who committed a more vicious crime than the governor of that state. Their crimes, no matter what, were retail. The government, for a few bucks, committed crimes against thousands, wholesale. But these are crimes of the powerful. They don't count.
Hi, my name is Hannah, and I'm an intern at Prison Radio. Today, we'll hear from our correspondents, Bryant Arroyo, Mumia Abu-Jamal, and Carrie Shakabuna Marshall, about environmental racism and incarceration. First, we'll hear Bryant Arroyo's speech to the New York People's Forum about the construction of new prisons on toxic Superfund sites. Then, Mumia Abu-Jamal will discuss water pollution and the environmental injustices of capitalism in Flint, Michigan. Finally, Carrie Shakabuna Marshall will call for accountability from politicians like former Michigan Governor Rick Snyder. This piece from 2016 has new relevance since the December dismissal of misdemeanor charges against Snyder for his role in the Flint water crisis. Starting us off is Bryant Arroyo.
Bryant Arroyo, calling from SCI Coal Township, Northumberland County, Pennsylvania. The title piece is New York People's Forum. Caged in the throes of the Eastern Anthracite region at SCI Coal Township, geographically located in Northumberland County, next to the Schuylkill County. Today, I, Bryant Arroyo, am esteemed, honored, and privileged to have been invited for the first time to speak at the New York People's Forum to all the social, environmental advocates, and the young, aspiring stakeholders and stewards of our planet Earth. Schuylkill County is considered to be the number one cancer cluster hotspot in the nation. The average rate of cancer deaths in Schuylkill County is 190 per 100,000 people. That is 50 more people compared to the average county in the United States. It should not be of surprise to you to know that many of the cancer deaths are comprised of Blacks, Hispanics, Latinos, and poor whites who died in the incarcerated state and federal communities consisting of three state and two federal prisons, totaling five within the region of Schuylkill County, PA. In 2005, I visited the law library and requested for the environmental impact statement, a study required by the Environmental Protection Agency. And to my shock and dismay, it read like an apocalyptic nightmare. I authored a formal objection letter to individually, collectively defy the prison rules, which prevents and forbids any unauthorized group activity and or prisoners signing petitions. In short, I successfully debunked the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections policy in an unprecedented, historical, uncommon maneuver organized and mobilized over 902 prisoners to sign and mail their formal objection letters that were sent to the Mahanoy Township supervisors. An $860 million coal gasification plant was supported by powerful corporations like J.P. Morgan, Sasol Fuels of Africa, Bechtel, Texaco, and politicians like former President George Bush Jr., Governor Tom Ridge, late Senator Arlen Specter, and ex-Senator Rick Santorum had to submit. On 4/5/17, I received an email from Panagiotti Sokas inviting me to share the concerns to oppose the federal prison plan to build and construct on top of a toxic, polluted, poison mine site in Letcher County, Kentucky. In this instance, I used the same blueprint to formulate the proposed formal objection letter in opposition by mobilizing and organizing 200 to 300 prisoners at SCI Frackville, which were sent to the United States Department of Justice, Federal Bureau of Prisons, Mr. Isaac Gaston, site selection specialist in Washington, D.C. This was another unprecedented historical feat, wherein it was the first time Pennsylvania prisoners at SCI Frackville mobilized a civil protest on behalf of federal prisoners in another state, Letcher County, Kentucky, which ended up scrapped. Since the 1980s, there has been over 600 U.S. prisons intentionally built on top and or around near toxic Superfund sites, a financial band-aid to boost and stimulate the economically depressed hinterlands. This is where the hidden subsidies come into play, called gerrymandering, which is the actions of changing the borders of an area prior to an election so that one person, group, or party has an unfair advantage. For example, if I'm from Philadelphia and imprisoned in Northumberland County, the Census Bureau would count me as a resident in their community, which automatically qualifies their county to receive the benefits of local and state federal funding for Northumberland County, not Philadelphia. As of right now, any Pennsylvania prisoners who have been convicted or sentenced to 10 years or more will be counted in the Census Bureau of the county you are imprisoned at. Another asset and investment that benefits them by continuing to exploit us as their resources to enrich and build up their communities, schools, churches, fire halls, etc. Finally, I want to share my thoughts with all of the social environmental justice advocates and aspiring youths who are the future stakeholders and stewards of planet Earth. An injustice here or there, as Martin Luther King stated in part, is an injustice everywhere. Nelson Mandela stated, "No one truly knows a nation until one has been inside its jails. A nation should not be judged by how it treats its highest citizens, but its lowest ones." With that said, it would behoove you to communicate, correspond, get enlisted as an email contact, set up virtual visits with prisoners who are involved with the social environmental justice advocacy inside the nation of prisons. This would free the bars of your minds. We must give to every will to live the same reverence for life that we must give to our own. Thank you for your stewardship of the planet Earth in solidarity. Peace, my brothers and sisters. To get enlisted in my email account, go to www.connectnetwork.com. If you would like to send any monetary gifts, go to www.jpay.com. Also, you can read the interviews at Workers World, workers.org. Just type my name and the search engine will take you directly to my articles published by Workers World. If you want to hear some of my recordings, go to prisonradio.org. Inside the Nation of Prisoners, Brian DeRoyo from SCI Coal Township. On behalf of Prison Radio, out.
Flint, Crimes of Capital. From the beginning of human communal time, people built cities adjacent to rivers, for water, fresh water, was the source of life. Cairo, and before it grew into Cairo, Fustat, relied on the Nile. London, and before that, the Roman colonial city of Londonium, was built upon the banks of the Thames. Paris, originally known as Par Isis, or the House of Isis, grew from the flow of the Seine. Rome rose to become an empire along the banks of the river Tiber. Cities feed upon and grow from the waters beside them. Flint, Michigan is named after the Flint River for the hard, dark Flint stones that formed its riverbed. For decades, General Motors drew from it and then poured into it its chemical wastes and effluvium until it became the corrosive, toxic brew that it is now. Indeed, after the waters became so acidic that it damaged automobile parts, GM bailed out, closing their operations there. These are the waters that Michigan officials, under so-called emergency management powers, to save money, routed into Flint homes and bodies. Waters that damaged and dissolved metals was found fine enough to feed the population of human beings in a modern American city. Thousands, tens of thousands of people poisoned for profit. Why is that not a crime? Why was it not a crime to poison a river in the first place? for the same reason that it is not a crime today to order the poisoning of thousands of people for corporate and state profit. Thousands of people, many of them children, poisoned in their brains, their livers, their kidneys, their lungs, their bones, for life in many cases. And even the talking heads on corporate media outlets are speaking of lawsuits and civil damages. More money that can't cure. When is a crime not a crime? When corporations do it. When governments do it. The U.S. government, through the military, committed genocide in Iraq, destroying one of the oldest civilizations on Earth based on lies, ignorance, and arrogance. It tortured Iraqis in American-run hellholes and busted a few low-life guards. It opened up a torture chamber in Cuba and suspended the Constitution and called it justice. There's actually a joint called Camp Justice in Guantanamo Bay, I kid you not. In a capitalist society, only capital matters. It's all about the Benjamins, bucks over bodies, profit, period. In Michigan's prisons, there ain't a single prisoner who committed a more vicious crime than the governor of that state. Their crimes, no matter what, were retail. The government, for a few bucks, committed crimes against thousands, wholesale. But these are crimes of the powerful. They don't count. These are crimes of capitalism. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Michigan Governor Snyder's criminal acts of environmental racism. Let's begin with the premise that Michigan Governor Rick Snyder must be charged with federal and state criminal violations of criminal negligence and a hate crime, for he knowingly forced the majority black-populated city of Flint, Michigan, to use contaminated river water connected to Lake Huron, which inflicted immeasurable and irreparable injury on the populace. Because without such an understanding of the matter, the public may very well allow Governor Snyder and his administrative staff to slip through their clutches and walk away scot-free with political career intact from their dastardly crime, based on a politically expedient and meaningless apology. The facts are too powerful to ignore. The Flint community knew for decades that the river connected to Lake Huron was poisoned by lead contamination and could not be used. The Flint City Administration also knew, and the governor's appointed emergency manager over Flint knew about the contaminated river water also. Even still, the emergency manager, a numbers puncher only concerned about Flint's fiscal management and not the health of the people, switched Flint's water supply to the contaminated river water despite complaints and opposition to the move. The mayor of Flint sent complaints to Governor Snyder, which he dismissed. The Environmental Protection Agency, a federal agency, got involved by investigating the Lake Huron matter. Scientific testing revealed extremely high levels of lead contamination of the river water connected to Lake Huron, and strongly suggested that it not be used in any manner. Governor Snyder rejected an EPA's scientific findings, produced an opposing state report by doctors he found saying the water was safe and can't be used, and continued subjecting the people of Flint to poisonous water for over a year. After a groundswell of opposition from the people and seeing the political peril before him, Governor Snyder now wants to end Flint's use of contaminated water and to say he's sorry. But a simple apology without sincere action behind it, it just doesn't cut the mustard. A truly sincere apology to the people of Flint would be Governor Snyder proverbially falling on his sword by resigning office to save face and sacrifice his political life to the gods of politics for causing so much pain to others and disgracing himself. Governor Snyder's actions towards the city of Flint is utterly disturbing because we know that were Flint a wealthy, mostly white populated city, the thought to subject such a city to contaminated waters wouldn't have even crossed Governor Snyder's mind. But such thoughts are clearly entertained and acted upon by wicked people like Governor Snyder when it comes to the treatment of poor black people. This is just another example of how black lives don't matter to the white majority political establishment in America. From the belly of the beast, at Prison Radio. I am Shaka Buna. Thank you for listening.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.